A light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after a marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. This Feast of the Lord's Presentation is particularly special this year. Since 1997, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord has been the World Day of Prayer for Consecrated Life. For all those religious men, women, consecrated virgins, hermits, and widows, members of societies of apostolic life, secular institutes, and other forms of life in the church by which people unite themselves to Jesus' poverty, chastity, and obedience publicly. This is a special day of prayer for them for these last 18 years. But because we are in the first year for consecrated life in the history of the church, it should take on special meaning. Today, in the readings that we have, we can look at this feast from four different angles. First is the whole angle of consecration. Following the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph went up to the temple, because God had told his people through Moses, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. That word consecrated, as I've been explaining, means a transfer of ownership. It means to give back totally to God the gift that God had given. To recognize that every child is a gift. And that gift is fundamentally the gift of a son or daughter, principally of God, rather than according to the flesh. Especially by baptism, we've got to recall that we've been begotten not by the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. And there is this consecration, this reality, that all of us needs to live by water and the Holy Spirit. that we belong to God, that we are His, that we've been cut off from worldliness in order to be with the Lord. Sacher con, consecrated means to be cut off in order to belong with the Lord. And those in the consecrated life precisely do that. They don't turn their back on the world that God made as if it's somehow bad. They turn toward the Lord so that they might become ever more His. And they show us all better how to live out our baptismal consecration so that we're not worldly, but so that we're godly. That's the first aspect we see here. Second aspect is the whole aspect of light. We began this Mass with a procession of lit tapers. February 2nd has long been Candlemas, day in which we bless candles and we illumine them to show to ourselves and to the whole world that we are meant to burn with Christ's light. Today in the Gospel, when Simeon held Jesus in his arms, he, filled with the Holy Spirit, called him a light for revelation to the Gentiles in the glory of your people Israel. Jesus is a light to the world, to all the world. And we're called to receive that light of Christ and then to reflect that holy light. On the day of our baptism, when we were consecrated to the Lord, our godfathers went to the Paschal candle, illumined by Christ's own light, and lit our baptismal candle. And we were told, receive the light of Christ. And our parents and godparents were instructed to keep that light burning brightly so that when Christ appears, we might go out to meet Him with all the saints in heavenly glory. The last is an image of the wise bridesmaids in Jesus' parable in Matthew 25. That we're supposed to be having the lamps of our life lit for the return of the bridegroom, for the return of Jesus. That we're always awake and vigilant. Those in the consecrated life are those who show us all how to live eschatologically, how to live for God, for His kingdom, for eternity, for heaven, for sanctity, burning like those wise bridesmaids for the return of the Lord, so that whenever He comes and knocks, we're ready to go. Consecrated, in a sense, die to the world so that they can live for God. And they're already showing us a foretaste of heavenly life here on earth. We all need to learn that lesson from them. The third aspect that we can grasp from this feast about the consecrated life and about our own baptismal consecration are the evangelical councils, which distinguish the consecrated life. Those in consecrated life unite themselves to Jesus' chastity, unite themselves to Jesus' poverty, unite themselves to Jesus' obedience. And we're called to unite ourselves to the Lord according to our states of life in similar ways. Today we see images of all three of those councils. First we see poverty. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to the temple, and they weren't able to afford a lamb. A lamb was the typical gift that would be offered, but they didn't have money to redeem the Lamb of God by a lamb themselves. They needed to offer what poor people offered. 2 turtle doves, 2 pigeons. They were poor, but at the same time they were the richest in the world, because the type of poverty that they were living was precisely so that they could be rich in the kingdom. And they were rich because they had the King with them. And they were willing to sacrifice everything else. Joseph gave up his job in order to support the Holy Family with himself. They were giving themselves in all their poverty together with that offering. We see obedience. We heard several times in the Gospel reading today that they went up just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Or a little bit later, they offered that sacrifice in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. They were constantly making the Lord's law the instructions for their life. They were doing it not against the grain, they were doing it with the grain. They were truly obedient to the Lord. We also see a great image of chastity. We've already talked a little bit about the love that's shown and the light with which we burn for the Lord. But we can see in Simeon and Anna great examples of a chaste love for God and for his people. Simeon was living by the Holy Spirit, going up to the temple regularly to pray. Anna, after she had been married for 7 years, young in life, continued to live the whole rest of her life until she was 84, which was probably well beyond 50 years, loving the Lord with a special love. The chastity of consecrated men and women is meant not to lead to a loveless life, but to a life that burns with love of God, that puts that love of the Lord first. And Anna and Simeon show us that type of love. That doesn't mean we can't have a family, but in our family, we're supposed to be loving God above all others. The consecrated men and women show us the beauty of a life of obedience to God's word, show us the beauty of a life filled with the Lord's own richness, a beauty of a life that responds to God's love with total love and response. They become icons of the poor, chaste, and obedient Jesus in our midst, and they call us and they show us that it is possible to live our life in the same way. And the fourth and the last thing we learn from the gospel is that the consecrated life in the midst of the world will always be a sign of contradiction. Simeon, when he picked up Jesus and praised God, then turned to Mary, his mother, and said, "This child is destined for the ruin and the resurrection of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Jesus would be opposed, even though he was showing us the way to live, even though he was the sign of all consecration, all of divine light, of the true wealth and spiritual poverty, of the true freedom and obedience, of the true love and chastity. There would be many who would oppose that light, oppose that treasure, and oppose that love. The greatest sign of contradiction is the violent sign of the cross, in which the vertical bar of the love we're supposed to have toward God is crossed by a worldly love that would crucify the eternal Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. Likewise, those in consecrated life often do experience this type of opposition, this type of contradiction. So many of those who enter consecrated life are opposed by their families, especially in the selfishness of the present day, where families only want to have one kid or two kids, rather than asking the Lord, "How many kids would you like me to have, one at a time?" Their families care more about grandchildren than they do about people working to raise up God's family. They'll be opposed by their friends. Their friends will think they're throwing their life away when they throw themselves into God's arms. But we've got to be ready likewise in our consecrated baptismal life for this similar consecration, similar contradiction that flows from it. There will be many minimalists who think that by the very fact you come out in a snowstorm to come to Mass that you're cuckoo, that you're crazy. You should be staying at home. How dare you possibly risk and fall in order to receive God inside? Because they don't really believe with the fullness with which we're supposed to believe. And those in consecrated life who give this contradiction to the materialism of our age, to the pleasure-seeking hedonism of our age, to the radical autonomy of this age, they show us all how to be courageous. Yes, we too in Christ will be the cause of the ruin and the resurrection of many. People on account of us will refuse the Lord, but so many others, by seeing us live our consecrated life well, will follow us on that path of resurrection, that path of consecration, that path of light, that path of the evangelical councils. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, into the temple, we, like Simeon and Anna, have been moved by the Holy Spirit to come out today, and we will receive a far greater reward than they did in the temple of Jerusalem. Simeon could only hold God in his hands as he praised the Lord. Anna was able to just hold him in her eyes. Today we are going to receive that eternal Son of God inside of us in Holy Communion. This is the opportunity in the consecration of the altar to renew our consecration. This is the time to be illumined by the supernova of Jesus' life inside. This is the time to reiterate that He is our treasure, that He is our love, that He leads us by the truth to authentic freedom through obedience. And He is the one who is the cause of our resurrection. To Him be power and glory forever and ever. Amen.